Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Okay. Tony and Gary were trying to get my notes and hide them from me. So that's the first lesson on faulty thinking that we're going to do today. Okay. So, and tonight's message is we're going to talk about Christ-centered thinking. And it goes along with what I've been doing for about 20 years. And first I want to say I've got the type A personality. This thing never shuts up. Okay, and I've had over the years been able to train myself. I remember one time I was in church, and I was so zoned in with the pastor, was talking to me, just felt connected to Christ, just was amazing, and a cell phone went off. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about work. Oh, what do I got to do at work? What do I got to do Monday? What are my kids doing? What am I going to do for lunch? And when I finally, I couldn't track where the pastor was. And then I said, whose cell phone was that? Oh, it was mine. That's why you won't see, true story, you won't see me with the cell phone in church. But now I will focus on pastor like I'm in pain to keep my brain trained and keep the distractions away. And it takes a lot to be able to do that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey that is all because of God.
Amen.
Okay? God directed everything. Everything Debbie and I have is due to prayer. And as I talk, every promotion, we were on our knees praying. And so I want to start off. I'm going to read a verse, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. But the verse I want to read first is John 15:15. All things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And then 1 Corinthians 2:16. And this blows me away. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so let's please go to word in prayer. Heavenly, merciful Father God, thank you for what your Son did for us. Just the love you showed upon us, and please be with the message tonight, and then allow me to follow your word and nothing but your word, and allow it to be edifying to the like-minded believers here. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, like Pastor said, he talked a little bit about the sort of the journey of how I've gotten to where, and I don't really talk about it that much because I don't like to boast. And I was reading through this, and I'm like, there's a lot of eyes in here. I just want to let you know now, God, it's God's glory, every part of the journey. And December 1st, coming up, will be 24 years that I've been saved. It's December 1st, 1999, and that's also the day that I got clean and sober, okay? It's no coincidence. And so I was working construction for a while. I'm 6'4", doing concrete. I don't know what I was thinking, but it paid the bills. And I got to a point where, like, I can't do this the rest of my life. I've got to do something else. And somebody had recommended, like, yeah, you might be a good counselor. So I started volunteering at a nonprofit. And within 6 months, I was hired full-time as a substance use counselor. And part of the deal was they wanted me to go to school because I didn't have any degrees. And so I started going to school and ended up getting an associate degree in human services and addiction studies. And that's where I first saw the sort of brainwashing of colleges, because thank God I was saved. Amen. The Holy Spirit ministered to me every time one of the teachers started saying stuff that went against the beliefs. And back then, that's when the whole gay marriage thing was popping off. And we had the guy that was in charge of the program talking about his beliefs with that. And, you know, was like, okay, do I really let them know that the classroom is not the right place to do that? And have a chance of have him washing me out of the program? See, that's what happens to Christians. You know, the world puts us in these corners and tries to force us against our beliefs. I let him know it wasn't in front of the class like I wanted to do, but I let him know it probably wasn't a good place to do that. And then I was working with people who have a lot of trauma, the people that society throws away, that go to prisons and jails and commit crimes. And, you know, you're talking molestations, talking rapes, physical abuse, military, PTSD, and, you know, mentally ill, and also spiritual abuse. People take this Bible and use it to twist in ways of bringing up their kids that is abusive. And so when you mention God to them, they just recoil. So I've just learned to take it easy and just find out what happened, because there's usually something that pushes people away. Okay, and so it was just amazing walk. And so the same time I was working with this nonprofit, I was going through the discipleship program at our Baptist church, Faith Baptist, that we just went to last weekend. Same church Debbie and I were both baptized in. And so I was able to take, I'd get an extra study guide of the discipleship program, and I'd go right, because I was doing individuals and groups and working, and my boss was a Christian, and she let us go right in. And I was taking what I was learning into these people, that just when people get clean and sober, they have this big void, just huge void that we know only Christ can fill.
That's right.
Yeah. Only Christ can fill. And so it was a really good time in my career, and people were accepting Christ in my office, and I was going to baptisms. It's just, and I've kept in contact with many of them. They're just rock solid. And it's because of Christ. It's not because of anything that I did. And so then I had a chance to get this little bit higher paying job at the county, and I was torn. I was like, I don't want to sell my soul for the devil for money, because I thought God put me there and I would have been happy with there. And I talked to another person that worked at the county, and he goes, brother, we need more believers over here. We really need more believers over here. And so I went and was hired from the county and retired with them after 15 years. And during my 15 years, God allowed me to promote 4 times, all the way up to program supervisor for the last 8 years. I was helping hire people. And the first clinic that I took over, after 1 year, 15 out of the 18 employees that I supervised were Christians. And so we were able to start doing some of the work that I had done at that nonprofit. Had to keep it a little lower key, but if somebody asks me what I think works ethically, I have to tell them. I get to tell them. And so, you know, we built a big reentry program. I was able to get treatment at the county jail, and just a blessing. I saw God's work everywhere. We worked with shining the light into the dark, worked with prisons, local hospitals, community providers, resources in the community, individuals be picked up from jail or prison, from our team, brought into wherever they were going to live, brought in. It was just rock solid, and it still is solid down there, except the laws in California have really warped it, because people are allowed, there's no accountability. During my time at the county, I received my bachelor's in psychology as a Christian. And so, and I also eventually received my master's in clinical psychology. Now, as I was going through and highlighting these books, the Holy Spirit would tell me, that's not true. That's not Christian. That's not biblical. So I'd make a notation on the side, like, this is, don't believe this. Okay, you might have to learn it to pass. And I'm glad I do. I did, because I now have licenses, several licenses. I'm currently a licensed marriage and family therapist, licensed clinical professional counselor. I'm also a licensed advanced alcohol and drug counselor. For the county, I was working a lot with mentally ill. I was writing 5150 holds, psychiatric holds. The people were severely mentally ill. And I was still, through Christ, able to connect with just about everybody. There was one mentally ill person that I could not connect with. And people with mental illness, people with addictions, they got a difference in brain chemistry. Okay, people with addictions have no off switch. They can't stop. Okay, that's where I'm at. I don't have an off switch. So December 1st, I'll have 24 years saved and 24 years clean and sober. And with mental illness, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, some of the depression and anxiety, this works with that. The people I see in my private practice that don't need medications, it works. Being able to pay attention to your faulty thinking and turn that around to Christ-centered thinking. Okay? And so the county, I've told a lot of you that, you know, when I retired, was getting more and more liberal. As a supervisor, Jason can relate to this. They were forcing me to make decisions about vaccines and talking about letting my staff know that we're in the trenches working with these people, just saving lives. And so I fought it. Debbie pushed to move, but I was like, I'm just going to do my... But I couldn't do my 20 years with them. It was sucking the soul right out of me. And so we decided to move with lots of prayer. I retired after 15 years. And after a year of sort of floundering up here, I found a job about a year ago at the Idaho Department of Correction, probation parole here in Coeur d'Alene. And I'm starting to see God work in that place. Okay? They were all online doing Zoom. How do you connect with somebody's soul doing Zoom? And so that was my first purpose, is get us back in person. I supervised two people, so really I've gone to heaven with not supervising a bunch of people. But we have a bunch of guys that completed our program, and there's some programs that are run by Christians that are good programs, and they've gone out, and they've formed an alumni, and they've come back in to help people just getting out of prison or jail. And our first one was just, you know, this is everybody, let's meet everybody. The second one, I'd say 90% of the meeting was talking about Christ. Amen. And I was just sitting there going, thank you, God. Thank you. And it just gives me a little sliver of where we're going to go. We're going to bring the females back in person in the beginning of February. So, and I've got ideas on this whole state, but I don't think they're ready for my ideas yet. So helping people step away from alcohol and drugs and crime while guiding to Christ has been a mission field for me. And I believe that it's been God's calling. And the most effective therapy or technique for people with addictions, and I use it in everything I do, is cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay, and basically what it is paying attention to your faulty thinking that leads to behaviors that you don't want. And then you turn around that thinking, okay? It's just like the cell phone, okay? I could have said, block it out, pay attention to the pastor, pay attention to that. That's what I do now, okay? It's up to us to be able to practice that because it's really important. We're out there in the world, and if you're watching TV and the commercials, this whole world is trying to desensitize us. Okay, we're solid in here, but when we go out there, it's just working on us and working on us. And so, you know, it's really important. So I, with the ones that get saved, I turn that CBT, cognitive behavioral thinking, into Christ-centered thinking. Okay? And so let's take a look, and some of the men might have heard some of this, but let's take a look at where Satan entered into our thinking process. Let's look at Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now here comes Satan's lie. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasure to the eyes, and there's the temptation, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Satan has been lying to us from the beginning to get us to do his bidding, to sin, to spend our lives in darkness. And we really need to pay attention to our thoughts and be able to differentiate between Christ-centered thinking and the thoughts that don't do us any good. Okay? And it takes practice, because if you're thinking it's anything like me, I'm a million thoughts down the road. You know, if I don't like the way I feel, I have to back up and like, what am I thinking? Because your thinking controls a lot of your feelings. And so back to our opening verse, have you ever thought about what it means when the Bible says we have the mind of Christ? That is a staggering reality. This means we have the capacity to think about things the way Jesus Christ would think about them. Paul called it having the same attitude of Christ. And since we have the mind of Christ, we don't have to think the way we used to think. Thank God, right? We don't have to see people the way we used to see them. We don't have to approach life with the same attitudes we used to exhibit. Think what would happen of all our relationships if we responded with the mind and attitude of Christ. So much delicious spiritual fruit would begin to grow and mature in our lives that our relationships would take on a whole new flavor. I know that even with the mind of Christ at our disposal, we are still very imperfect people. Okay? I'm guilty. Who can easily lapse back into our old way of thinking and action? To change our thinking, we have to identify the faulty thinking and work on replacing it with Christ-centered thinking. Scripture is clear about the resource available to us in Christ. Here are some ingredients you can begin using today to develop Christ-centered thinking and attitude. Now, I know I'm only supposed to have 3 points, but I have 12, okay? But they're short, okay? So I'll read these verses. You don't have to turn to them. So work on your thinking is number one. It's Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Point two, be conformed to Christ, not to this world. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number three, renew yourself daily. Ephesians 4:23-24. And be renewed in the spirit of the Lord, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Point four, meditate on God's word. Psalms 1:2-3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, not our law, his law, does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Point five, seek God's will. This whole journey, I've sought God's will. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. You know, I grab a hold of that steering wheel and start forcing things. And when things get a little bumpy, it's like, what are you doing? Let go. Let God drive. Okay? And sometimes I have to just realize, like, what are you doing? Okay? I was praying for Debbie when her surgeon called the other day. And it was a risky surgery. And her surgeon was pretty... I talked to her right after the surgery, and she was pretty stressed out.
It was a hard surgery. And she goes, I don't know what you guys are doing because the blood work looks really good, but her liver doesn't. And so keep doing what you guys are doing. And so we found a very competent surgeon, and she was amazing. And I'm glad that Debbie made it through this. But I was praying hard. So thank you guys for your prayers, because I know the whole church is praying. Point five, seek God's will, Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Sometimes we don't accept God's answers, but they're God's answers.
Yeah.
And that's where the thinking, where we're like, well, no, I want to do this, or no, I want to do this. And we're going to cover that sort of in a minute. Sometimes it takes me years to figure out that that was God's will.
Yeah.
You know? Six, bear the burdens of others. Okay, that's where, you know, Gary, I'm praying for you. Prison Ministries is amazing. Some of the best work, I think, that I've ever accomplished was in the county jail, because they're just so raw. Their drugs and alcohol have been taken from them. They're facing the consequences of their behaviors, and they've got this huge void. And so I'll be praying for you, brother, because it's a great opportunity. Let's see, I don't know if I saw Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Seven, resist the devil. Okay, I'm not going to read all these. This is Matthew 4:1-11. Jesus was tempted by Satan himself three times, and he resisted the devil. Eventually saying in verse 10 and 11, then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered upon him. Okay? None of what we do would be possible if Jesus accepted one of his temptations. This would all be false. And so that's, and all this is written for us to be able to push this evil away from us and our families. James, number 8, James 4-7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 9, learn to control your mental focus. That was a big one for me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is be any praise, think on these things. Okay, so when your thinking goes to the negatives or anything like that, do something to flip it. When the politics are going on, flip that. God's in charge. God wins this battle. Okay, any worry that we do is not going to help our walk. Okay. 10, be careful how you view life. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Number 11, look for God's purpose in everything. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I misspoke. I have 13 points. One more. What's one point between friends, right? Point 12, seek his strength in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly thereof, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And 13, and I'm not going to read it, put on the whole armor of God. Every bit of it. Don't leave anything out. Think of it. Who controls your mind? Okay? Think of the course of your day. Okay? We all sort of get irritable. We all get... Who's controlling your mind in those points? Okay? And really to turn it to Christ-centered thinking sometimes can be a challenge, but it shouldn't be a challenge. Because that's our walk. That's our path. Lay out some stressful situations. You're stuck in traffic. angry at your spouse, angry at other people at work or school. You're not focusing, making excuses. You're playing the victim. You're giving up. All these things, okay? You know, my knees are thrashed. Every step hurts. You know, I'm going to get them both done in February because they throb and hurt all night long. And every step I take reminds me of how good heaven's going to be. Okay? Everyone. So I turn it. I've learned to just turn that around. It's going to be good. We're going to be singing with the angels. You know? When Christ's mind dominates our minds, then we will be truly in our right minds. A mind that is filled with what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy will have little time for anxiety-producing, peace-disturbing, joy-destroying thoughts. So this is why we need to think with a Christian mind. In other words, through the lens of Christianity. Properly focusing our minds not only glorifies God, but also strengthens our ability to persuade others concerning the gospel of the truth. Okay, properly focusing our mind. And so can you guys put those things up here? All right, so I just threw some letters up here. And so the top one, the F stands for feelings. And then the T is thoughts, and the B is behaviors. This world is feeling led. Yeah. I feel like being a girl. I feel like being a boy. I feel like being transsexual. I feel like doing drugs. I feel like putting my hands on people. I feel like committing crimes. We're feeling led. And that doesn't do us any good.
Right.
Okay? We all have these strong convictions. We all have our favorite sports teams or things like that. But if those feelings start interrupting with your walk of Christ, then you've got to turn that around. Okay? You get to turn it around. Okay? You know, the world likes to put a hierarchy of sin, all right? It's like, oh, you went to jail or prison, so you're like worse than us. We are all fallen, okay? We are all fallen. And those prisons and jails, that's why I'm doing what I do, because just welcoming somebody out of prison, you know, we call it reconnect. We started this thing where everybody that comes out, they come in and they get a handshake and a welcome. Probation and parole is not even there. We got a case manager, we got two counselors, we got me, the therapist. And we're just welcoming out. We bring people in from the community and show them all the resources. And they're just like, wow, this is different. I'm like, yes, it is. Welcome out. Let's try and keep you out. Okay?
Yeah. Good.
And so the bottom one, so we turn that around, and the bottom one is Christ-centered thinking, which leads to our feelings, which leads to better behaviors. Okay? And it's okay to want that new car, to want that new thing, but if you're blowing the bank and putting yourself at risk for being bankrupt, then you've got to think that through, and it's got to be through this book, the Bible. Okay? And so we get to be able to start focusing on our thinking, and that's one of the things I work with people with depression and anxiety, and before I even recommend them go, because I can diagnose, but I can't prescribe. And so I will work on all this. And I'm telling you, 95% of the people, this turns their anxiety and depression around.
Amen.
Okay? Some have that chemical imbalance that has to go and get on some medications. It's just difference in brain chemistry. Okay? And so, you know, just the other day, I was talking to our neighbor. Yesterday, I was battling the Leafs that had collected while we were out of town. Nobody ever told me there was a leaf season up here. They told me the snow season, the summer, the spring. They'd even told me the mud season. Don't pull off the side of the road. Nobody told me about the leaf season. I was just battling it. And so my neighbor, which is a believer, was out there, and she's got some physical problems going on. And so we started talking, and we started talking about Christ-centered thinking. And she goes, I know all my digestive problems are because of my worries over the world, over Israel, over everything. So there's a link to your brain and your physical health.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a big link. And it's not self-thinking, okay? I could have never done this without Christ. It's Christ-centered thinking, okay? Everything should run through this book and prayer.
Amen.
Everything,
right.
Okay? So the first step is to identify your faulty thinking. Okay, if we don't even know it exists, we're not going to work on changing it. So start taking a look at your thinking patterns. And if you've got some things that go on, some behavioral patterns, take a look at your thinking, and it takes practice because our minds are remarkable. Our minds are from God. And they're remarkable. And so it takes actually, especially with my type A personality, I was a million thoughts down the road. When I first started doing this, it was like World War III up here trying to pull out, like, what was I thinking? Okay? Identify the faulty thinking that does not glorify God. Replace it with Christ-centered thinking. Rebuke this faulty thinking, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up with some thought stoppers. Armor of God. You know, if that doesn't work, do some exercise. Go and enjoy God's beauty. A real wise man told me a long time ago that when you enjoy the beauty like we saw coming in, you're having spiritual awakenings. Every one of those. A lot of times we've never seen that exact picture, that exact sunset, or that exact anything. And so that's all over. So sometimes you can get out of your head by enjoying God's beauty. Exercise helps a lot. You and I are what we think about. Our minds form the root of it all. All our human actions, unless there's something physically or mentally wrong with us, emerge as a result of the thought processes. It is in our minds that affections are stirred. It is by our minds that our wills are directed. It is in the mind that we conceive of and produce every action. It is therefore imperative that we learn to think about the right things and that we learn to think in the right way. Yeah. I do a lot of couples counseling, and most everybody except one are Christians. People are sort of not on the same page because they have these thinking errors. They think that they're reading minds, or they think somebody did something to hurt them on purpose. Instead of communicating, like, hey, I'm a little confused, what was that all about? They just hold on to it, and it just gets worse and worse. So communication is huge. Becoming a team with Christ as the head is huge. I had one pastor, talking about intimidating, I had a pastor call me for therapy, him and his wife, and he had fallen and gotten into alcoholism. And we were praying, he got sober, and you could just see God's light come back in his eyes. Yeah. And just what a privilege that God has put me in this place. I'm so humbled. I'm humbled and honored to be up here. Yeah. Remember, the human mind is always going to attach itself to something. It is therefore imperative that we attach it to the right things. We get to control what we attach it to. And in closing, let's turn to Philippians 4 through 7, please. Okay, Philippians 4 through 7. 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for letting me preach. Thank you, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Man, what a blessing. I appreciate Brother Clark and what he's doing. The Bible speaks about, you know, Paul talked about walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God's called him to this profession, this calling, and for him to be a praying man and for watching how God worked through all the years and opening doors and allowing him to be able to bring Christ into a secular position. That's the Lord. And God has blessed you, brother, for, you know, for just turning things over unto him. And I can relate, you know, as a young man, I had a heart for psychology, and that's where I was going to go. That's where I was going to go to a university and down the road with that. I got saved, and God had a different path for me. But I'm glad that that's the path that he has for you, brother, because I'm seeing what God, you know, we've talked, and I know that God's opened some doors, but he's opened many doors for him. And what a great opportunity to be in that profession and then just to turn things over to the Lord and see what God's doing and how he is opening those doors. But what a blessing. Christ-centered thinking. Boy, did you get something with that tonight?
Yeah.
I hope you jotted all those things down, because those are just great tidbits of advice, each point, to get us to keep our minds on the Lord. And you know what's behind all of that is it needs to be undergirded with discipline. May the Lord give us discipline to, you know, to counter how we're wired. You know, Brother Clark brought that up, you know, where he's type A, I'm more type B, but we all have things that are unique to the different disposition that you might be, the different temperament. There's certain ways your mind works, there's ways my mind works, but if the devil has his way, just like he did with Eve in the garden, he'll try to pull you this direction, the world will take you this direction. He said it well. We come in and we hear, we have fellowship with one another when we sing hymns that draw us toward Christ, and we hear preaching that draws us toward Christ, but then we go out in that world, and that world will subtly take us in another direction, and where we work, we'll do that as well, but if we keep our mind on the things of Christ. So, brother, I appreciate that so much. What a great message. Let's go ahead. Let's have an invitation hymn.